Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of Locked On Red Sox is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and it now comes in six amazing new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. These bars are great for the health-conscious guy or gal. If you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, these bars are low calorie and low sugar while still being high protein, high fiber, and absolutely delicious. For a limited time, you receive a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. But either way, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. That promo code works for both pre-existing and new customers, so use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. And if you know me at all, it has been quite a rough weekend for me because the Red Sox traded probably my favorite player who isn't named David Ortiz. Mitch Moreland is now a Padre, and I'm so bummed about it. But the only upside is that it means that I get to have my pal and fellow Locked On Podcast Network host, Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres, on the show again so that we can talk about this and I can vent and explain to him exactly what a gem he is getting in Mitch Moreland. Mm-hmm. Because the second this trade went down, everyone was like, oh my God, she's probably heartbroken. And I was like, yes. And in the Locked On Podcast DM that we have going on Twitter of all of us for the MLB section, I said, Javi, tomorrow we record. And he's like, okay. So, buddy.
Look, as everyone knows, the mother effing star girl, we've done like 800 podcasts together. It's so funny.
And we're doing another one in like an hour, too. That's the best
another
part.
One in an hour. It's like, I don't know. It's pretty wild. Oh, snap.
What?
I think they got Clevinger, the Padres.
Oh, my God.
I think it just happened. Hold on.
Well, give that both sucks second. For you and congratulations.
Yeah, I know. It's literally the ultimate, like, I'm very split. I mean, but he's nasty as hell, so. But anyway, all right. So back to what I was saying.
Both on and off the field.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. So, I'm really excited to be on yet again. We talk about Tatis. We talk about sports movies. Just everything. And now here we are after yesterday, even though it felt like these last like 24 hours for the Padres feel like the type of thing that a team does over the course of a week. But instead, AJ Preller being the Mike, whatever that dude's name from Rounders is that Matt David plays, that's just kind of his mood right now. And he's just going for it in every respect. And Mitch Moreland, I think without you, I wouldn't have realized how good he was this year. Meaning, like, I see you tweeting about him every 5 seconds because he's really been just that good. It's been amazing. He's made 328, 437, 46.
He's quite frankly, he has the most home runs on the team. He's got on his former team, 8 home runs, hitting 328, 14 runs scored, 21 RBI, which I also think was, if not still is, a team high. And those 22 hits come in only 67 at-bats. Mitch Moreland is like literally the most underrated hitter in the American League, if not in all of baseball. He just never has gotten enough recognition for how incredible he is. And I think it's because he's so darn consistent that mm-hmm. you just expect that he's going to come up clutch every time he comes up to the plate. So you like don't even appreciate anymore. The guy was leading the team last spring too. He had 13 home runs between March and May. And he was leading the team then. He got hurt. Everyone's like, oh, all right, he's hurt. He's on the injured list, you know, and the team never really got going anyway. But Mitch Moreland just does this. And he's turning 35 in September. On September 6th, he's turning 35. So you have this guy who is literally just aging like a fine wine. He only gets more consistent, more powerful at the plate. And I saw it coming like a freight train. It doesn't make it any less painful when the freight train does
hit you. Nothing
you
could do to stop it.
Oh, no, not at all.
But thankfully, it was for my team. And my team, it's funny because the offense is not at all what I've been worried about with the Padres. But it just shows that Prowler's kind of into improving the rest of the team. But just to talk about the trade for a little bit, the Padres gave you guys Hudson Potts, who is a third baseman, and then outfielder Jason Rosario, who's our number 19 prospect, actually. He's an outfielder. So, look, and here's the thing. I think for most teams, giving up prospects for Mitch Moreland, who is, like you said, a little bit on the wrong side of 30, even if he is doing well. But the Padres can afford it because they have so many other prospects in that farm system. So while it sounds scary on the front value for the Padres, where you're like, oh, two top 20 prospects for this guy, for a player that we might not necessarily need considering how good the offense has been. But still, bottom line is it cements the lineup even more. It means that you don't have to keep having a rotisserie type of style person who's playing left field or DH. Now we have that permanent DH, really, instead of Naylor or Profar or Garcia. It's going to be a more cemented lineup, which is really good. Can you tell me, though, what are some of your favorite Mitch Moreland moments? Because for me, he's that Red Sox kind of player, or any player for a team, that you don't think about, who's always just kind of managed to – he's not a star. You know, he's not J.D. Martinez. He's not Mookie Betts or any of those guys, right? Not even Devers or Bogarts. Like, you guys have some good players. He's that guy in the back of the lineup who's just sneaking around, you know, for the Yankees, because I know we've talked about the Yankees versus Red Sox beef before. That's almost like a Brett Gardner, where it's this guy who's not the star of the team at all. But he's always
Yankees fandom just pops out, because you know I don't like Brett Gardner, and you're just like comparing my favorite player to Brett Gardner. I mean, how dare you on my own podcast?
This might have been a trap laid by me beforehand. Who knows?
Yeah,
it's really exciting for the Padres, and I'm just wondering, like, where do you think the Red Sox are going from here? We're recording this on the day of the trade deadline. Do you think that they're gonna trade any more players too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Red Sox are having, as Tobias Funke said in Arrested Development, a fire sale. This team, it's so frustrating because this kind of like everything must go, everything that's not nailed down, meaning basically anyone not named Xander Bogarts, Rafael Devers, or Eduardo Rodriguez. Pretty much anyone who isn't one of those people that I just named is probably available. And that's frustrating because looking back on the last couple years of this team, this is a disaster of their own creation. It's not like the team has a million injuries. They do have some significant ones like Chris Sale, but a lot of this is just that they spent too much money on the wrong people, didn't keep the right people, didn't make enough moves when they needed to. And now they're in a position where they have like no pitching. The pitching that they do have is pretty bad. And therefore, they have to make moves that I don't think you would have seen them making if they had made smarter decisions after the 2018 postseason. Giving Chris Sale that extension when he still had a year on his contract and clearly hadn't been fully healthy during the 2018 mm-hmm. season. I mean, he barely pitched between the All-Star break in September. I think he pitched one game against the Orioles, and Cora made a joke about it saying, well, I don't have to give him a rehab start because it's just the Orioles. He goes on to pitch like five innings in that game and strike out something like 14 batters. So, you know, Cora was right. But now fast forward to 2 years later, the Red Sox are the equivalent of the 2018 Orioles. It's just frustrating because Chaim Bloom is here to make really tough decisions, and he's in kind of an unwinnable position. And so I do feel for him on that front. That being said, I also don't think he really understands the vibe in Boston. And that's fine because he's not from here. He's not a Boston Red Sox fan. He came from a very different organization. I mean, financially, just fan base wise, market wise, like the Rays and the Red Sox could not be more different. But you asked me about my favorite Mitch Moreland moment. Like you said, and like I said at the beginning, I think one of the things that's so hard with Mitch Moreland is because he's so consistent, it's hard to pick out, you know, individual moments because he had so many of them. Obviously, his World Series home run, 2018, game four, he hits a three-run homer when the Red Sox are down 4-0. It turns around the entire game because the night before had been the longest game in postseason history. It's game three. I was there. It was 18 innings.
Jeez.
7.5 hours.
Jeez.
Moreland's in the starting lineup. He goes through the 12th inning. He is hitless in 5 at-bats,
wow.
2 strikeouts. The entire team is depleted. Nathan Eovaldi had been the supposed starter for game four. But of course, he pitched in relief in games one and two. And then in game three, he comes in and has this heroic performance where he comes into pitch and throws like 97 pitches. He threw more pitches than Rick Porcello, who actually had started game three like 15 days earlier. The next night, you know, everyone's just exhausted. Like, the game ended at 1:30 in the morning. You have another game like 12 hours later, basically, in a foreign ballpark on the other side of the country. And Moreland just comes up, absolutely mashes one. Suddenly the score is 4-3. Totally different ballgame. Especially, you know, in the World Series, you're playing in a ballpark that you may have never played in before because it's so hard to even get to the World Series. I mean, your team has not ever won a World Series. I think they've been to it twice. They've never won. The Mariners have never even been to a World Series. It is so incredibly hard to get to the World Series. And then Mitch Moreland just gets up.
Yeah, tell me about
three-run bomb in his Boston postseason career. So that's the 2017 ALDS through the 2018 postseason cumulatively. He plays in 15 games, hits .333 with a .412 on-base percentage and a .533 slugging percentage. One homer, five runs batted in, three walks. He's 10-for-30. Seven runs scored and three doubles.
Not bad.
And I'm not going to try to compare him to someone like Mookie Betts, but I'm going to a little bit compare him to someone like Mookie Betts in the postseason. Just to prove the point. So Mookie Betts has appeared in 21 postseason games in his career between the 2016 ALDS, which was a three-game sweep by the Cleveland Indians, four games against the Houston Astros, and of course the 2018 postseason. So that's 21 games. He has a .227 batting average, .313 on base percentage, and a .341 slugging percentage. Okay. One home run in his entire postseason career, and it came in game five of the 2018 World Series. He has a total of four career postseason RBI, 10 career walks, 17 strikeouts. His slash line speaks for itself. And again, just to point out how vital someone like Mitch Moreland has been to this team's success. Mitch Moreland also, in 2017, the Red Sox finished dead last in the American League for home runs. Mookie Betts leads the Red Sox, if you can call this leading, leads the Red Sox with 24 home runs. Hanley Ramirez has 23. Mitch Moreland has 22. Moreland also has third most RBI. He has second most doubles and fourth most hits, third most walks. And his batting average is sixth, right behind Mookie, which, I mean, is a weird sample size because technically Dustin Pedroia was actually in first place. Dustin Pedroia had a .293 batting average in 2017, but he played in 105 games, whereas Mitch Moreland played in 149. And the other thing to note is that Mitch Moreland played in 149 games, but he had a broken toe for like 2 months. So he was playing on a broken toe and was still in the top five for almost every single offensive category. And that just shows you what kind of guy he is, that he is a total soldier. He never complains. Total diamond in the rough. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy him because he's just a really solid guy. Not to mention, he's a gold glove first baseman, which doesn't get talked enough about. He has been vital in preventing Rafael Devers from making even more errors than he has. And I'm pretty sure Rafael Devers had a 3-error game like 2 weeks ago.
Can the Guinness Book of World Records just give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other job websites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Now, if you're a longtime listener of this podcast or you follow me on Twitter, you know how much I love food. And when I need a snack at 4 p.m., dinner at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., or ibuprofen for a headache, I Postmate it. Postmates is my and your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, convenience store, whatever kind of delivery service, all year round. Anything I'm craving, Postmates delivers it. They are the largest on-demand network in the United States, and they offer delivery from all the restaurants, groceries, convenience stores, drugstores, and traditional retailers that you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, browse local restaurants and businesses, and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON.
Just to tell you before we finish this, how amazing Mitch Moreland has been. Mitch Moreland, as of August 21st, was third in baseball for fewest at-bats per home run this season with a minimum of 2 home run. Mitch Moreland was homering every 7.14 at-bats, right behind Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Among players with at least 50 plate appearances, Mitch Moreland was leading the American League in both slugging with an .804, OPS with a 1.238, trailing only Juan Soto for the major league lead in both. And during a 10-game on-base streak, he was hitting .407 with a .529 on-base percentage. In terms of his impact on Red Sox history, fewest at-bats needed to reach 6 home runs in a season since the expansion era in 1961. It took Fred Lynn 28 in 1979, which is a club record. Mitch Moreland is second with 31 at-bats to reach 6 home runs this year. And then Jason Veritek needed 36 at-bats in 2010. So you are getting a guy who is so important to a team's success because he's just always good for that clutch 2-out RBI extra base hit. I mean, his nickname is Mitchie Two Bags for a reason. He hits doubles on doubles on doubles, but he also just mashes home runs over the fence. And you just have to love a guy like that because he's always there. He is always there. And it's going to bum me out so hard knowing that he's not on the Red Sox anymore for that exact reason. There's so much turnover in baseball, so much upheaval, especially at a time like this for the Red Sox, where literally no one is safe. And I just appreciated so much that this guy, who just like never really seemed to get the recognition that he deserved, always was there to pick up his teammates. Not to mention, you know, it's hard to find a guy now who's almost 35 years old, still hitting this well, and is such an important clubhouse presence for the younger guys. I mean, I know that there's this huge priority on youth in sports because you equate youth to health and skill, but there is something to be said for these guys. And you can't discount what over a decade, I mean, he reached 10 years of service time on Saturday. You can't discount what that amount of time in a professional sports league teaches you. Having guys like that around is important for the younger guys. Having someone who's been there, who's experienced everything, who knows what to do when you're struggling. Mitch Moreland helped Rafael Devers become better. He helped his teammates both defensively and offensively all the time. And it really hurts my heart to see teams not place a value on guys like Mitch Moreland, because when you think about it, they really pick up the team in so many ways. And most teams don't have a Mitch Moreland. And I'm really happy for the Padres that you guys get to experience him, because now you will have Mitch Moreland. And I am super bummed for the Red Sox that yet again, they are not valuing stuff like that.
And it's just like for the Red Sox, what I would add, now I'm coming out of hibernation to talk for a second. I was just really enjoying you hyping up this player that my team just got. I was just like, let's keep it going. But I'm listening to this and yeah. The Betts thing, look, I've talked to people, Gabrielle, I'm going to come full circle. I'm going to come clean and be like, hey, look, I like making fun of the Red Sox fans and the Boston fans that are complaining that for once in their 20-year stretch that their team isn't great, okay? I like making fun of it. All right. So we'll leave that alone, though. But I will say...
Plus, you're a Yankee boy, so...
I'm a little bit of a Yankee boy because I hate the Red Sox. that's part of it. I got my dad texting me a bunch of things right now. He's like, well, the Padres are trading for everybody. I'm like, yeah, man, it's really fantastic. And he's like, oh, and you took one of the Red Sox guys away from them. Good. Excellent job, son. I'm like, all right, look, I'm not the manager of the team, but, look, I will say this about the Red Sox though, is that it doesn't feel like they're doing a smart rebuild, but they're just doing it for rebuild's sake. I mean, this is a team that, like you said, with the Chris Sale signing, which I forgot that he had a year left when they extended him, by the way. Thanks for reminding me.
And he had been hurt in both of his first two seasons with the Sox. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was exhausted in 2017 because Farrell used him too much. Then in 2018, he started having the shoulder problems. But that's what Dombrowski does. I mean, he just throws money at everything, and that's why he's no longer here. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, you guys have a robust farm system. And yet again, the Red Sox did not get a single pitching prospect. Their outfield prospects are thin. But what I was so annoyed about yesterday was, like, the Red Sox don't need another infield prospect. For starters, we have Rafael Devers, so why do we need a third baseman? Well, for starters, we have a super young infield. We have Michael Chavis, Jose Peraza, Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers are the main four infielders now that Mitch Moreland is gone. Holds back tears. But then we also have, like, in our top prospects, Tristan Casas, Bobby Dalbec, Jeter Downs, who was part of the Mookie trade. And you just kind of look at that and you're like, why on earth do we need another infield prospect? Rafael Devers is 23 years old. And Michael Chavis didn't come up as a second baseman. Chavis came up as a third baseman and first baseman. And Bobby Dalbec can play multiple infield positions too. So between all of these guys, you have your infield covered for the next decade. Why are you not getting pitching? Have you seen our starting rotation? The seesaw that is this farm system, one side is like subterranean with the weight of infielders, and the other side is so high in the air you can't even see it anymore because there's like almost no pitching on it.
And to conclude the kind of Red Sox weird rebuild thing, it's like they traded Mookie Betts with a year still left. They could have maybe re-signed this guy, right? To me, a team that was like ready and showed that they would have traded him to the Padres for like Mackenzie Gore, for example. You know what I mean? Like get you that elite prospect. And look, who knows if Alex Verdugo sounds good. But like you said, the bigger thing with the Red Sox is their pitching, which in fairness, I think every team in the league needs pitching right now. But still, like, it's like I would have only, if I were the Red Sox, I would have waited and been like, all right, he's not going to get $450 million or whatever his alleged asking price was for, right? That's how contracts work. They ask for a lot of money, then you come down to me in the middle, right? Okay, that's what happened. So my thing would have been like, all right, let him test that out. He's not going to get it, and then maybe we can re-sign him. If you're going to trade him a year away from him being like a free agent, you go to the Padres and be like, we want Mackenzie Gore, and then we'll give you Mookie Betts. That's what you basically do, right? And the Padres maybe say yes to that, by the way. I don't know. I don't know if they would have said yes, but it's – it is questionable, the Red Sox rebuild. It's very odd that this is a team that won the World Series only 2 years ago, and they're all of a sudden rebuilding.
Less than two years ago. August 31st, 2020. The Red Sox won on October 28th, 2018. So we are 22 months later. This team is in such bad shape. And I mean, a lot of it is out of their control, obviously. You know, pandemic got E-Rod sick and Chris Sale needed the Tommy John that he probably needed last summer. But overall, you can trace a lot of this back to bad financial decisions. And that's what's so frustrating. I mean, at least from a fan appreciation perspective, and obviously, you know, fans don't create wins. They don't win ball games. But especially in a place like Red Sox Nation, keeping your fans engaged and happy is a huge part of owning a team here. And Brock Holt is the perfect example. He revealed this week the Red Sox never even reached out to him about re-signing him. And for a guy like that, who was such a huge part of this team, could play, like, he can play seven positions. Seven positions. Like, imagine just not wanting that, the versatility. To not even reach out to a guy like that, who's also been your Jimmy Fund captain for like 4 years and is just such a beloved part of the fabric of Red Sox Nation and Red Sox franchise history, it just shows you what their priorities are. And I get that the money thing is huge, but also you're the third richest ownership group in all of pro sports. And to not even get pitching prospects for him. This team isn't going to be competitive for a while unless they are loading up on infield prospects so they could trade all of them to get someone like Lucas Giolito, for example, which I highly doubt they're going to do. Unless they're somehow stockpiling infielders for some weird Manfred rule change where everyone just hits off of a pitching machine now and that's baseball, you really have to wonder what they're doing here, because every single trade that sends away people that Red Sox Nation loves, they're not getting what they need in return.
It's sad times for the Red Sox, which are happy times for me, especially because
you can barely contain your glee
because of the benefit of it also helping the Padres. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. You made me more excited about having Mitch Moreland.
Well, I'm excited to watch Mitch Moreland do well because he's the kind of guy I'm always going to support. I have my Mitch Moreland t-shirt lying around here somewhere. And guys like him, I will root for them no matter where they are. I mean, if he was on the Yankees, maybe we'd be having a different conversation, but Padres, no problem. And as usual, Javi, thanks so much for coming on and talking to me about this and being a wonderful friend and baseball mind. I love that we get to do so many of these together, even under circumstances that break my heart. So
It's been a blast. See you in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Javi, tell everyone where they can find you and Locked On Padres on social media.
Of course, you guys can follow Locked On Padres. Lots of good memes on that account, especially after the things that the Padres have been doing over the last 24 hours. So check that out. It's at @LO_Padres, or my personal account, which also has plenty of memes and fun things, except I don't necessarily always tweet about baseball there. But still, you can follow me there at @Javipeno, which is JAVIIPENO. Great Twitter account. Isn't it a great one, Gabrielle? Come on, let's just be honest.
It's a great one.
But Javi's
a great writer.
Thank you.
And guys, as always, follow Locked On Red Sox at @LO_Red Sox. I promise I'll do better at running that Twitter account. You can follow me at GFSTARR1. Don't forget to subscribe, download, share it with your fellow Red Sox fans. And as always, on this trade deadline to end all trade deadlines, no matter what, go Red Sox.